You will take your Bibles and find the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Coming to a close of this series. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know for sure you're going to heaven? All right. That's most of you. I'm right there with you. I've got reservations. I plan to spend eternity in the place we're going to talk about today. It's kind of odd. You think about the concept that a lot of people have about heaven. They sing songs about it. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Really. I got a feeling it's not. There's another, I may not go to heaven because they may not let cowboys in. If not, just let me go to Texas. No, you don't want to do that. As much as you might love Texas. We're going to talk about heaven. A grand and glorious place prepared for us by God Himself. Billy Sunday said, if we could get an appreciation for what heaven really is, we'd all be so homesick for heaven that the devil will not have a friend left on the earth. I like that. You've always heard everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Right? That's the only way we're going to get there until the rapture happens. But what about these people who claim that they died and went to heaven? Or had visions of being in heaven? They sell a lot of books, but I'm a little wary of that because most of them, their description of heaven contradicts the Bible. And we better stay with the Bible and not what some people have envisioned. In our last message, we saw the creation of a new heaven and a new earth in the first 8 verses of chapter 21. This is prophesied, by the way, in the Old Testament. If you look at Isaiah 65, verse 17, the prophet said, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. So that's what we're going to look at today, the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem that will descend from heaven to be here on earth. It's not the old Jerusalem, but a new one. It's not the millennial Jerusalem. There's 3 Jerusalems in the Bible. There's the Jerusalem, the historic city that we still know today. There will be a millennial Jerusalem. Now, when Christ comes, there's going to be a great earthquake, and I think the old Jerusalem is going to be destroyed in the earthquake. And there's going to be a new Jerusalem on earth during the millennium. Then there's this new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Some seem to think that during the millennium, the heavenly Jerusalem will hover over the earth, and then at the end of that period will descend here to the earth. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. In chapter 20, we see heaven on earth and millennial kingdom. In chapter 22, we see the future heaven of the eternal ages. Here we read of a beautiful city prepared for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angel is saying, I want you to get a glimpse of your future home. So if you want to stand with me as we read from God's word to give honor to it, if you're physically able, I'm going to read this in segments as we go through this outline. So let me just read verses 9 through 11 at this time. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials for the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. You may be seated. Let's talk about first the descension of the city, the New Jerusalem. John sees this great city descending from heaven to the earth. A city from God. Notice preparation by God. God is preparing this city for his people. Coming down from God out of heaven. He is the architect. He's the designer. He is the builder of this heavenly city. Here's a city of divine origin. You remember Abraham said, as recorded in Hebrews 11:10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for that city too, aren't you? I'm looking forward to this. And by the way, there's nothing impossible about a great city hovering over the earth and the sky. I mean, we know today that they put satellites in orbit that are like that. So it's no big deal if God wants to have this great city hovering over the earth during the millennium. And then after the great white throne judgment, he burns up the old earth and heaven and creates a new heaven and earth and enters this new Jerusalem that will descend and rest upon the new earth. It's what Jesus was talking about back in John 14:2 when he's talking to his disciples. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." That's what he's doing today. He's preparing New Jerusalem for his people. And it's a place, a literal place. Some people say, well, you know, heaven's just a state of mind. Well, Jesus didn't say, "I go to prepare for you a state of mind," did he? I go to prepare for you a city, a place, a literal place that we will see. You know, once Paul took a trip to heaven by vision, and he told us about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says in verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up into the third heaven." Verse 4, "He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Now, Paul's little heavenly trip, we can believe in this one because it's in the Bible. He was caught up into the third heaven. We talked about there's three heavens. There's the heavens around us that the birds fly in. There's the heaven of the planets that surround us. Then there's the third heaven where God is. He was caught up into the third heaven where God is. Heaven is real. It's more real than Tulsa, Oklahoma. Amen. And it's being prepared for us by God. Not only do I want you to see the preparation by God, but note its glorification. Its glorification of God. Everything about this city glorifies God. Do you know that? Verse 11 speaks of having the glory of God. John says, "Her light was like unto stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." So the glory of God is going to radiate from this city. It's going to bear the mark of its creator in every facet, every detail. The word light actually speaks of its brilliance. To John, the city was like one great brilliant light. And it's the glory of God. He describes the brilliance as a jasper stone. That word jasper is not the jasper we know of. It's more like a diamond. This city is going to glow like a big diamond, refracting and reflecting the glory of its creator. Everything about heaven, folks, is going to reflect the glory of God. Glory will be manifested in an unlimited and unconfined way. We read back in the Old Testament, Moses sought to seek the glory of God. He wanted to see God in all of his glory. And in Exodus 33, verses 21 through 23, God said to Moses, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Remember, Moses come down from the mountain after that experience, and the people could not even look upon Moses because his face shone with such glory. The glory of God was shining upon him. Now, folks, we're going to see the glory of God. We're going to see his face. Moses, in his condition back then, could not see his face, but we'll be able to. We're going to see our God in all of his glory and majesty. Second, I want you to notice the description. The description of this city. Let's continue reading back in Revelation 21. Let's take it with verse 12. It had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And a wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall is of jasper. The city is pure gold, like unto pure glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. We know about the pearly gates, don't we? Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. What a description of this city. First of all, note the details here of the city. It has a wall great and high. Now, back in Jesus' time, most cities had walls. What was the purpose of the walls? It was for protection, wasn't it? Keep invaders out. Why in the world do we need a wall in the New Jerusalem? There's not going to be any enemies that we need to keep out. I think this is just symbolic of the fact that here is a place that is of great safety and security. Nothing can happen to God's people. They are safe. There's gates on each side, 3 gates on each side, east, west, north, and south. At these gates are 12 angels. Jot this verse down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. It says, "Ye are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." So many angels are going to be involved in all of this. Here's 12 special angels that have special assignments concerning the city. Each gate is named for one of the tribes of Israel. The names of the 12 tribes are inscribed on the gates, I guess celebrating God's covenant with the nation of Israel. An eternal relationship that will be here. The people from whom the Savior came, the people from whom we got the scriptures, the tribes of Israel. The arrangements of the gates is kind of like the same fashion as the tribes around the tabernacle. Remember in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, they camped around the tabernacle. Three tribes on each side. And that seems to be the idea here. There's 12 foundations inscribed with the 12 names, the names of the 12 apostles. So they celebrate, commemorate the New Testament church. So you have the Old Testament and the New Testament saints all brought together here. At the top of each gate is the name of a tribe of Israel. At the bottom is the name of an apostle. And you know the church was built upon the foundation of the apostles. Now note the dimensions of the city. Angel pulls out a ruler and starts to measure this. It lies four square. The length, the breadth, the height are all equal. The city layout is in a cube. By the way, did you know the Holy of Holies in the temple was a cube? 20 by 20 by 20. And that represents where God dwelt among the people. It was a symbol of heaven, where God is. So the angel measures the city. It's probably, do you have a picture of that? We found some pictures. Can you look at this? Here's what we're talking about, a cube upon the earth, 1,500 miles high. Somebody said that would be like 600 floors. You're thinking, well, it'll be my luck, I'll be on the 600th floor. That's a long elevator ride, isn't it? Here's another. The New Jerusalem would cover this area. It's supposed to be a square. It looks like a rectangle, doesn't it? It should be a square covering about three-fourths of the United States. One city we're talking about will be that large. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high. That's where you get the 12,000 furlongs. A furlong is about 607 feet. And there's a difference. Some say 1,400 miles, some say 1,500 miles. But it's big. It's big. Do you know what the largest city in America is in land area? Does anybody know? It's Juneau, Alaska. 3,000 square miles that Juneau, Alaska covers. It's the size of Delaware, that one city. It's just really spread out. But that's nothing compared to what we're looking at here. This New Jerusalem is going to be massive. The angel measured the wall that surrounds the city to find it to be 144 cubits. I seem to be talking about the thickness of the wall. About 216 feet thick. So this is a huge city that we're talking about. This, thirdly, note the diversity of the city. He goes on to describe the materials that are used in the wall. These walls are translucent. Again, manifesting the glory of God. The city itself is a pure gold. A gigantic city made of pure gold. The God of beauty is going to lavish this city with beauty like we've never seen before. The manifold grace of God. Manifold means many colored. The many colored grace of God is going to be seen in this city. Verse 19, he turns to the foundations of the wall of the city, garnished with all manner of precious stones. You have a list here of these. I'm not going to try to name them again. I got through it once. But you got your Bible. Look at it. What a glorious city this is going to be. Colors, I think colors we've never seen before, are going to be manifested in this. 12 gates made of pearl. The pearly gates. Not overlaid with pearl, but each gate is one pearl. Now all the other precious gems are of metals or stones. The pearl is the only one formed within living flesh. As you know, it's formed in the oyster. And what the oyster goes through, or it receives a wound, and it surrounds that offending particle with layer after layer after layer, and it forms a pearl that way. The pearl is the answer of the oyster to that which injured it. You see how that would apply? What Christ had to suffer? Every time we go through a pearly gate, we're going to be reminded of the suffering of Jesus Christ. The only reason we're in that city is because of the sacrifice Jesus Christ made on our behalf. Amen. You say, Brother West, one gate is a pearl? Boy, that must have been a big oyster. Well, God can do all things, amen? If he wants to create giant oysters to do this, that's fine. But these pearls will forever remind us of the one who died on the cross. And to those who injured him, he now invites us to enter into his home and share it with him. Folks, heaven is God's answer to wicked men crucifying heaven's prince in open shame. It's amazing, isn't it? How like God to make the gates of the New Jerusalem a pearl. And we read, and the street of the city is pure gold. We've heard about the golden streets, amen? Pure gold. Now you ladies get excited about your gold earrings and your gold necklaces and jewelry. God uses that to pave streets. Amen? He uses gold to pave the streets of New Jerusalem. Oh, what a glorious place this is going to be. Can you imagine living in such a place as this? One day, this is all going to be reality. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You say, Brother West, I'm a country guy. I don't want to live in no big city. How many are thinking that? How many think? I thought about that. I thought, man, like living in New York multiplied. And some of us country folks, we don't know about this. But I tell you what, you won't be disappointed. You're not going to want a refund when you get there. You're going to be perfectly content with whatever. God is preparing for us something that's perfectly suited for us. Amen? It's perfectly suited for his people. He's gone through the lexicons of the world and taken things that are indescribably beautiful and uses them as symbols to describe the great glories of our future heavenly home. A third thought I want to share with you is the distinction of the city. Let's go back to Revelation 21 and finish reading this chapter. Look at verse 22. So I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Amen. of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Three things I want you to see here. We say there's no sanctuary. John said, I saw no temple therein. Now there's been a temple on earth. There will be a temple during the millennial kingdom. But now we enter into the eternal ages and there's no longer a temple. You ever wonder why? Why is there no temple for us to worship in? There'll be no need for one. We will be in the very presence of God all the time. We won't need to go to some place where God will meet with us for worship. We will be in God's presence at all times. There will be no need for a church house, for a chapel, for a cathedral. Folks, every moment we will constantly be in God's presence. He is omnipresent. And the symbols, think about this, the symbols are now replaced by reality. Amen? Symbols are no longer needed when you have the reality. The temple on earth was a symbol of what was in heaven. So we see there's no sanctuary. Secondly, we see there's no sun or moon. In heaven, there will be no cycles of time, such as day and night. There will be one eternal day, and the light of it is the glory of God. The shining is not from any material combustion, not from consumption of fuel that needs to be replaced when the supply burns out. It is an uncreated light of God, who is light, dispensed by and through the Lamb. He's an everlasting lamp to all the homes and hearts and understanding of the saints. When Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the people of God, the church, you remember the story that a light shone, knocked him off his horse? He says, a light brighter than the noonday sun, making his soul and body ever afterwards a light unto the Lord. That experience changed his life. He saw the risen Christ. To Paul, Jesus was not the Lord of Nazareth. He was the Son from heaven. See, he didn't walk with the other apostles with the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. He didn't see Jesus as they saw Jesus. He saw Jesus in his glory. And he lived the rest of his life in that experience. Made a difference. We talked about Moses coming down from the mount, his face luminous from being in close fellowship with God, who is the light. On the Mount of Transfiguration, there's another time when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw the Lord Jesus glorified. They bowed down and worshiped to him. We're going to see that one day. And with reference to the very time that the city comes into being, the Bible says in Isaiah 60, verse 19, The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. So no more need for the sun and the moon. The glory of God will be our light. Verse 24, the word nations refers to people of every walk of life, every ethnicity. People of every tongue, every tribe will occupy this wonderful city. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. I think that's just a reference to the saints of God. We will reign with Christ in his kingdom. Here's a final thought. Here's a place where we see there's no sin. No sin. As we said, in the ancient cities, walls were built to protect the city. At night, the gates were closed to keep out the enemy, the invaders. Now, we don't have to worry about that in heaven, do we? It says there will be nothing unholy or unclean about this city. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. Hey, it's not going to be, there's no bad part of town here. Right. Amen. Every city's got the bad part of town. We tell visitors, don't go up there. There's a lot of crime, a lot of bad things up there. But it's not going to be a bad part of town in the New Jerusalem. We're not going to have to worry about that. No part of it will be unsafe. No part of it will be run down. There's no slums here. It's because sinners will be far removed from this place. They're going to be locked up in an eternal place of doom and darkness. I got news for you. The lost person wouldn't enjoy being in New Jerusalem anyway. Not in his lost condition. Not in his sinful, ungodly condition. Hey, those who don't enjoy coming to the house of God now would not enjoy New Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. But to those of us who are saved, my, what a city. What a glorious home awaits us. It was breathtaking to John to describe this great city. We're going to learn a little bit more about it. Come back tonight. We're going to get into chapter 22. And there's even more description of New Jerusalem. Let me close with this. Most of you probably heard of Matthew Henry, who wrote his set of commentaries on the Bible. Matthew Henry anticipated the time when he would die and his loved ones would mourn his passing. So he wrote this to be read at his funeral. Listen to this. Would you like to know where I am? I am at home in my Father's house, in the mansions prepared for me here. I am where I want to be. No longer on the stormy sea, but in God's safe, quiet harbor. My sowing time is done. I am reaping. My joy is as the joy of the harvest. Would you like to know how it is with me? I've been made perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowed up in glory. Would you like to know what I'm doing? Well, I see God. Not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I am engaged in the sweet enjoyment of my precious Redeemer. I am singing hallelujahs to Him who sits on the throne. And I am constantly praising Him. Would you like to know what blessed company I keep? It's better than the best on earth. Here are the holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. I am with many of my old acquaintances, With him I worked and prayed, who have come here before me. Lastly, do you want to know how long this is going to continue? It's a dawn that never fades. After millions and millions of ages, it will be as fresh as it is now. Therefore, weep not for me. I wouldn't mind if that was read at my funeral, if I have to die. I'm still counting on a rapture, but I was counting on that a long time. Brother Russ, let's prepare for our invitational hymn. You know what they will not be saying in heaven? Hope you have a good day. Every day is going to be good. Amen. Every day is going to be a good day. A new life upon a new earth in a new Jerusalem. Folks, how can anybody want to hold on to this old sin-cursed world in light of this wonderful revelation? How about you? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Just stand with me as we prepare for this invitational hymn. Folks, I want you to be able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, that you'll be a citizen in this new Jerusalem. Because not everybody talking about heaven's going there. Amen. Nobody's going there above the age of accountability that has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you're not saved, we want to give you an opportunity once more to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Church member, don't be trusting in anything besides Jesus. Don't be trusting in baptism. Don't be trusting in a church membership. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You need to be sure of this, that you are saved, that you have a home in heaven.